verses 21 through 32 tonight, Acts chapter number 19. And tonight we're going to see that Apostle Paul here, he purposed in his spirit, in the spirit, to spread the gospel. He had a purpose. He had a will to spread the gospel. He had something more than just a want to, something more than just a think I need to. In the spirit, he wanted to spread the gospel. And tonight, I want to show you what spreading the gospel will do in a place or in a person's life. A lot of prayer requests tonight before we got started. And a lot of it would have to do with the gospel. It'll stir. It'll agitate. It'll mess things up. And the Bible says, after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit. There it is. He purposed in the Spirit when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So he went into Macedonia, two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Aristas. But he himself stayed in Asia for a season. At the same time, there arose no small stir about that way. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation, and said, sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul has persuaded. This Paul. You get that? Hey, this Paul, this man is coming. He is persuading our people. Man, he is turning our people away. Much people saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. He said, there's no such things as these little idols that you're making. You're wasting your money. It ain't doing no good. So that not only this, our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship. And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. And the whole city was filled with confusion. And having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul, companions in the travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. And when Paul would have entered into the people, the disciples suffered him not. And certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater. And some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused. And the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. Our Father and our God, we once again bow in your presence tonight. Father, we love you. And Lord, I thank you tonight that you have adopted us into the family of God. I thank you by the blood of Jesus Christ. As Brother Tony said tonight, Father, we're not ashamed of that name, but we uplift that name that's above every name. Lord, I pray tonight for the ones that's on prayer list tonight. I pray tonight for Brother Harold's uncle there. I lift him up to you. Father, I pray tonight, Father, for the little girl that's out there in Texas. Lord, I pray for that situation. I pray for Sister Dewana and her family. Lord God, I pray you just do things there that only you can do. I pray you sit down in that home, Father God, put back what needs to be put back. Lord, I pray for all the prayer requests all over this room tonight. Father, the ones that are sin sick, the ones that are physically sick, Lord, we ask you to touch them. Lord, tonight I pray you stir our hearts to spread the gospel everywhere we go. Father, I just thank you so much for this night. I thank you for a Bible study that we can come out in freedom and study thus saith the word of God. Lord, I pray tonight that we leave better than we did when we come in. We ask it tonight in Jesus' most holy, precious name. Be with the Pickle family. Watch over them as they lay a loved one to rest this week. Lord, I pray you have your way there. Lord, we ask it all in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Purposed in the Spirit to spread the gospel. As we go back into the text tonight, where we're at, I want to take you on this journey tonight. The gospel that Apostle Paul preached here that he had purposed in the Spirit. He had purposed in the Spirit to turn Ephesus and Asia upside down. He purposed with that gospel to go out and spread that gospel everywhere he went. The gospel message will turn a place or it'll turn a person upside down. And when you say, preacher, what will that do? How does that turn things upside down? I want to give you a few things that the gospel will turn upside down as I read this text tonight. If you'll look with me, if you will, in verse number 25, number one tonight, The gospel message, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, it'll turn wealth upside down. It'll turn the wealth of people upside down. It'll turn it in a chaos situation. Look what he said in verse number 25 here. Demetrius, a silversmith, here's what he said. He was making these silver shrines for Diana here. And here's what he said about them shrines, that when they told him they was doing you no good, that there was no God, there was nothing in them, and the true God was Jehovah. Here's what happened. Here's what got the chaos started, or wealth turned upside down. He said, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation. He called his friends together that was doing the same work. And he said, boys, we got a problem. Hey, we ain't going to be able to sell what we're making, and it's going to cost us our money. It's going to cost us our wealth. And we don't need this Paul preaching Jesus Christ. We don't need that in our town. And look what he says. He says, and sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth. He said, by the what we do and by our hands, we have our wealth. But when Paul come in, he said, what you're doing is not right, and it will not stand. Can I say to you tonight, these silver shrines wasn't selling, and it produced an uproar in the town. Tonight, people were not buying the idolatry no more. They wouldn't buy this idolatry that was being sold. They was not worshiping another God, but they was turning to Jesus Christ. And Brother Boyd, they was turning to the name that was above every name. And tonight, can I say to you, it was making people mad. And the people that were wealthy and getting filthy lucre and filthy gain off people, hey, you know what it was doing? It was turning things upside down. I say to you, there's TV evangelists, and there's people in the days that we live in today, hey, that use things for filthy lucre. Hey, if you'll send this amount of money, you'll be healed of cancer. If you'll do this, you'll be healed. You'll be set free. Can I say to you tonight, it doesn't matter about your money. It doesn't matter what you got tonight. The only thing matters is our relationship with Christ Jesus tonight. It turned their wealth upside down. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Timothy chapter number 6 in verse number 10. I'm talking about that wealth, how it had turned it upside down, and they was using it for the wrong thing and not the right thing. In 1 Timothy tonight, if you would, in chapter number 6 and verse number 10. You say, preacher, what's wrong with money? I'll be the first to tell you tonight, there's nothing wrong with money if you use it in the right way, if you use it in the way that it should be. But the Bible says tonight that it came and it turned their wealth upside down. And tonight I want you to know this, that 1 Timothy chapter number 6 and verse number 10, the same man, Apostle Paul, he was telling here to young Timothy, and here's what he said. He said, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Friends, tonight I want you to know this, money is not the root of all evil. It is the love of that money. When you get in love with money and you get obsessed with it and you get possessed by it, and everything that you do, you think about money everywhere you go. You're trying to get an extra dollar. You're trying to get a little bit more, and it's all about that money, and it's not about our Master Jesus Christ. Hey, can I say to you tonight, the place that you work and the education that you got and the things you do, it is not your provider. If that's what you're depending on, you're going to be in an upside down situation. Hey, you know where your wealth ought to come from? It ought to come from the throne room of heaven. Can I get an amen? Hey, I must understand that He's my provider. He's the one that makes the way when there is no way. He's the one that sets the captive free. The Bible says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after. There's some people that covets after that dollar, and they want more than they can get, and they keep wanting more and more and more. And you say, preacher, what will that do? What will it do when our wealth gets in the way? What does it do when our wealth is in the way? You've got to choose either being wealthy and being all about money, or being about all about God. And if He chooses to make you wealthy, just be wealthy. Amen? Amen. That's where God lays that at tonight. Look what He says. Because if it's all about money and you get in love with that dollar and everything you do is surrounded about that dollar, here's what will happen. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after. What do? They covet it. They want it. They do anything to get it. Here's what happened. They have erred from the faith. What have they done? They've turned from the faith. They're not staying where they used to do. You know what that means? Money could buy them out. Money could buy them out. They could be bought out. They could be sold out. Friends, tonight as a Christian, don't you be bought out with the things of this world. Don't you be bought out with the things that's going on in this world. Don't you look at what people's got and you say, boy, if I had what they had, I'd be happy. You don't know how miserable they are getting what they got. You don't know how miserable they are the hours they work and the time that they spend, hey, trying to upkeep what they got. Hey, friends, tonight when that gospel comes in and that message comes into your heart, money will take a back seat and God will take the front seat. Amen? Let me show you this tonight, what he says. He said, they have erred from the faith and has pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Tonight, that dollar bill tonight, it has pierced so many men and women in the world we live in. I want to give you this tonight. Not only does it say this, that they turned their wealth upside down. They wanted more, but it was going against what God had called them to do. For the love of money is the root of all evil. But in Mark chapter number 8 in verse number 36, the Bible says, for what shall it profit a man? What will it profit you if the gospel comes your way and your money gets in the way? What is it going to profit you? What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What does it profit if we get everything we want down here and we die and go to hell? What have we profited? Nothing. Because we're not carrying nothing with us. But here's this. In verse 37 of Mark chapter number 8, here's what he says. Oh, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Here when they come to this silversmith here, you know what they was doing? They was trying to tell him the gospel. They was trying to preach the gospel, but the gospel was turning his wealth upside down. It was going against the means of what he was doing. Friends, tonight, and as your pastor tonight, don't you let things of this world overtake your purpose to spread the gospel. No matter where you go, what you do, you make sure tonight that you keep spreading that gospel, living by that word, and doing what God has called you to do. Tonight, number one, I see in verse number 25 that he purposed in his spirit to spread the gospel, and what it did, it turned the other people's wealth upside down, and they was going crazy. Let me give you this tonight. Not only will it turn their wealth upside down, it'll turn their wealth upside down. Man, I have seen people, I'm telling you tonight, in the ministry, in the gospel ministry, I've seen people that has been under the influence and be under the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and that the Holy Ghost wanting to save them, the Holy Ghost wanting to pull on them, and when they realize what they got to give up to follow Jesus Christ, they'll have to give up things of this world, they'll have to give up things that they do. No longer can they own the liquor store, no longer can they do them things. They have to give up the cares of this world. They would rather have what this world gives them than to be saved and have eternity in heaven with Jesus. It's this world that is blinding our eyes tonight. It turned their wealth upside down. But let me give you this in verse number 27. We see it turned their wealth upside down, but it also turned their worship upside down. All they had been doing, they had been making money off filthy lucre, off filthy gain. They was making these silver coins. They was making these silver impressions there, and they was making them out. And here's what they was doing. People were buying them, and they were getting great gain. And they was worshiping this goddess Diana. They was worshiping her, and they was treating her like a god. And when Paul come in, he said, listen, boys, listen, people, I want you to know that is wrong. That is not right. There's nothing in that. You're wasting your money. You're wasting your time. It's a false god. Can I say to you, that's the same things we do in the world we live in when we pump all of our time, all of our money, all of our efforts, everything into something that's not going to benefit us one bit. When we keep pumping, 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 and it ain't got no eternal value in it. He said, what you're doing's wrong. He said, but let me tell you this, that she is no God. And here's what had happened. It not only did it mess with their wealth, but it messed with their worship. You know what? There's people in the world we live in, they worship all kinds of things in the world we live in. You get on TV, you see what people are worshiping. You get on the internet, you'll see what people are worshiping. Can I say to you tonight, there's only one person that deserves worship, and that is Jesus Christ, God Almighty. He is the only one that deserves worship. And when you start telling people that the gospel, Jesus Christ, is the way, the truth, and the life, it'll mess up their wealth, and it'll mess up their worship. They'll mess up what they used to worship. You say, how do you know that? What'd you do on Sunday before you got saved? What'd you do on Sunday before? What did you worship before you started worshiping Jesus? There was something you'd done before you started. There was something that was taking Sunday's place. There was something taking Wednesday night's place. There was something taking Sunday night's place. There was something that kept you busy on the weekend and occupied on the weekend to keep you from serving Christ on them 3 days. But not only that, if I wasn't going to serve Him on Sunday, I sure wasn't going to serve Him the rest of the week. Right? So here's my thing. It messed up their worship, but it messed up their wealth, and it messed up their worship. Let me show you this in the text where it says that. I think in verse 27 is where we're at. And as I read this, man, it just stuck out to me. So not only this, our craft is in danger to be set at naught. He said, listen, boys, not only our craft, not only our wealth and what we're making our money is set up and we're fixing to get in trouble. He said, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana is fixing to not be in existence. It's fixing to be destroyed and brought down. He says this, and the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship. Said everybody's worshiping her, and if we're going to follow Jesus, we got to quit worshiping her. Can I say to you tonight, when you start following Jesus Christ, you can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and man. You got to pick which one you're going to serve. Look with me tonight in verse number 27. I want to show you some things. When they turn their worship upside down, who they used to worship and what they used to worship, their worship was being despised. The people no longer wanted to worship her, but they wanted to worship the true king, which was Jesus. Their worship was being despised. Look there, if you will, it said that should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed. Hey, when you got saved and you got born again and the gospel came into your life, I want you to know that what you used to do, you despise. You don't do that no more. And there was nothing they could do about it. They despised the way they was living. Not only that, but it was being destroyed. No longer was they going to keep going the same way. You said, preacher, what will the gospel do tonight? Oh, I wrote this down. The gospel will agitate them. It'll agitate a person and it'll produce anger inside of somebody that's not willing to receive the gospel message. Here tonight as we come, we see the worship was being despised, the worship was being destroyed, but the worship also turned to wrath. It produced wrath in the city that they lived in. All the way around, look in verse 28, and when they heard these sayings, what did they hear? That the goddess they was worshiping was of no value. Of no value. You tell people on Saturday evening in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, that Alabama football is of no value, they go crazy. You hear me? Amen? But that compared to Jesus Christ in eternity, you ain't got no value system. There's no value in things like that. There's no value in that. Friends, what I'm trying to tell you is there's people worship things more than they do God. And we must not, as born-again believers, get tied up and get all worked up into things of this world and not get worked up with things that's in the glory world. Amen? Look what he says here. And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath of something that was not even real they was getting upset about. They was getting all tore up about something that was not even real, but they worshiped it anyway. Look what he said. And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. So worship was being despised, worship was being destroyed, and worship had turned to wrath. I wrote this down, and I want to share this with you. Wealth, we're talking about that the gospel will turn the wealth upside down. It'll turn worship upside down. Let me give you this. God owns it all anyway, right? God owns it all anyway. When you get in line with God, He's going to take care of you. If you don't believe that, look what we're sitting in out here. There's no way we should be in a building like this out here if it wasn't for God Almighty. Let me give you this. I wrote this down. I want to slow down. There's nothing wrong with money. There's nothing wrong with having money. If you use the money, don't let the money use you. I wrote this down. And I believe this. Wealth, being wealthy and having wealth has gotten a lot of folks out of worship. Wealth has got a lot of folks out of worship. How do you know that, preacher? Now we can afford to go do. Now we can afford to go. Now we can do this. Now we can do that. And before you know it, Sunday's scheduled out. Wednesday's scheduled out. Your whole everything you do is scheduled out, and it's scheduled around what you time. I believe in all that. I believe having a good night as I come to this place. I want you to know there's nothing wrong with getting away, taking a break, having a good time. I believe in all that. I believe having a good time, taking a break. But listen to this tonight. I believe there's so many when God blesses that person, and if they don't know how to handle that blessing when it comes, they'll allow that wealth to take them out of the worship service, and it won't be long. You won't even see them in the house of God. I've seen it so many times. Let me give you this. It'll turn their wealth upside down. It turns their worship upside down. That's what it does. The gospel, it turns it upside down. But let me give you this. It turned their way upside down. When you get to their money, their wealth, and you get to their worship, their whole way's turned upside down. Their whole way's turned upside down. I've said this many a times. If you lost everything you had today, you had nothing in the morning, not nothing, would you still worship Him the same as you did tonight? Look what it says here in verse number 32. It turned their way upside down. These people said, hey, I'm not spending no more there. I'm not doing that no more. I'm not going that way no more. And their way changed. Everything about them changed. There's things I used to blow money on. I still blow money now. Some things, you know, ask Brandy, she'll say, he'll blow it. My mama told me today, said, you ain't got to worry about cobwebs getting on your money. It goes fast. I said, you ain't got to worry about getting on nobody's money in the world we're living in right now. It's going to go fast. But there are some things that don't get my money no more. Budweiser don't get my money no more. Bud Light don't get my money no more. Can I get a witness? Them things don't get my money no more. The honky-tonk don't get my money no more. Drug dealers don't get my money. They don't get that no more. You say, well, what do you do, preacher? I want to know I'm helping the next man down the road. I want to know I'm helping somebody in the local body church. I know I want to be tithing the way that I should be. I want to know if you looked at my bank account, you'd see that my tithe lines up with what I make. You see what I'm saying? It changed. When I got saved, it changed. And you say, well, does the money matter? Yes, it does. I'll never forget, me and Brandy, boy, we thought we was doing right, and we went and visited a person in Birmingham at the hospital one time, and we went in, and that person was sick. This is before I ever was a pastor. And I'm talking about money, that God will open your eyes and put you in the right way. It'll turn things upside down. What you think you used to do was right, then he'll put it in right perspective. And we went, and I said, well, what are you going to do? And we was talking, and I said, well, what we're supposed to tithe this week, let's just give it to them. Instead of putting it in the plate, we'll give them the tithe, and we'll just give them that tithe, and they're in the hospital, they're in need, it'll help them. It'll help them. It'll be good. And, okay, let's do that. So we got to the hospital, and we gave them that. And, boy, we walked out. Boy, Sister Brittany, we felt good. You hear me? Like old Banny Rooster walking out of the hospital, like I'd really done something. I got to church next Sunday. Rocked on a couple Sundays. And I got talking to my pastor. You'll thank God for a godly pastor. Amen? Got talking to my pastor. And I told him, I said, man, let me tell you what we did. I said, I got to help a family. And he said, that's good. I said, yeah, man, they was hurting and in need, and I got to help them. I said, me and Brandy took our tithe, and we went, and we gave it to that family and really blessed them and helped them. And he looked at me, and he said, you took what? I said, well, we took our tithe, and we went and gave it. And he said, that ain't yours to give to somebody. And I said, huh? He said, ain't yours to give to somebody. He said, that tenth ain't yours. That tenth is his. And I said, and he could see the look on my face. He said, and I was working at Spurl's at that time. And he said, what about on Thursday? When do you get paid? I said, on Thursday. He said, what about Thursday? Rode around and your boss come to where you was at and said, hey, by the way, today you're not getting a check. Somebody needs it worse than you do. I'm going to give your check to somebody else. How would you feel? I said, I'd be mad. I'd be disappointed. I'd be upset. And he said, that's the same way that tenth is, that tithe is, that tenth that you're supposed to give off your what you make. He said, it's not to go to somebody else. He said, now once you give that in the plate, if you want to give some more on top of that to help somebody down the road, give all you want. But that first 10% is not yours to give on down the road. It's to give in the local body. And I want you to know we've done that ever since. And if we ain't got it to help somebody down the road, we just don't help them down the road. But I make sure I put my 10% where it's supposed to go. And I want you to know he has kept the devourer away. He has kept everything out of my family that needs to be kept out when he sees it needs to be kept out. He meets my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. If you look at my bank account today, you say you're in need. Amen. Thank God. Because you know what? He's going to meet that need. Amen. Hey, if it's all bound up there, he might not never unleash the windows of heaven and pour out what he pours out on me. And tonight, what I'm trying to tell you is it messed up their wealth. It messed up their worship and it messed up their way. Man, they're ready to go and I'm way behind. I'm way behind. This new contact, boy, it's good. You hear me? Man, let me give you this. They're ready to come in. Let me give it to you quick. It turned their way upside down. The gospel, look what it did. Look what it did in verse 32. Some therefore cried one thing. Here's what it'll do when the gospel gets in and it starts turning stuff upside down. Here's what it'll do. When it gets in your home, it's going to cause ruckus. Husband married, husband saved, woman lost, going to cause ruckus. Woman saved, man lost, it's going to cause, it just does what it does. Look what he says. Some therefore cried one thing, some another, for the assembly was confused. Now they don't even know what they believe. They're confused. If this God ain't real and that God's real, who are we going to follow? Man, they're all confused. And the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. They don't even know why they're together now. All they know is they're confused because now their ways, all their ways has changed. I want to give you this in closing tonight. It confused their way, but I want you to know a way tonight that's not confused. John 14:6, the gospel is the only way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by him. Can I say to you tonight in Ephesians chapter number 6:15, the gospel is the way of peace. If you're writing this tonight, remember John 14:6, Jesus is the way. When everything is turned upside down because the gospel in your life, He is doing it for a reason. It's purposed in your heart. The gospel is the way of peace. Ephesians 6:15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That gospel is peace. It does not bring confusion once you accept it. The gospel is not only our peace, but the gospel is our hope. Turn with me, if you will, to Colossians chapter number 1 in verse number 23. I want to show you this tonight. Colossians chapter number 1 in verse number 23. The gospel is our hope tonight. And look with me here, if you will, in verse 23 of Colossians 1. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. There it is. Don't be moved away from that hope of the gospel. If that gospel, if you're saved tonight and you felt like since you've been saved, everything's been turned upside down, you're saved. That's a good inkling tonight that you're saved. If everything is turned upside down, if everything ain't running smooth, that's a good sign you're saved. Amen. I ain't doing what I used to do. I ain't what I want to be, but everything's flipped upside down. I don't really know what to do, but I'm just loving Jesus and marching on. That's a good sign you're saved because everything's turned upside down. Look what he says. 23, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, you just settled down, believe in God, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Wherefore I, Paul, am made a minister. Let me give you the last thing here, 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verses 1 through 4. And they're waiting on us and we'll go. Here's what the gospel is. I told you that the gospel is the way. The gospel is our peace. The gospel is our hope. But the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That is the gospel tonight. We must purpose in the Spirit to spread the gospel even when resistance is met. Even when it's met tonight. Even when it's going to upstore somebody's wealth and maybe what they do for a living. You're going to share the gospel with them. You know if you share it, they get saved. They can't do that no more. It's going to tear some things up. It's going to tear some things up. Their worship, you know they're worshiping. They're not worshiping God, the true God, Jehovah. You share the gospel with them, it's going to tear some things up. Right? And it's going to tear up their way. Paul knew that going in. He didn't back down. He got him some grit. He went in there. He just preached the gospel. And he let it fall where it wanted to fall. He let it fall on who it fell on. And he preached, thus saith the word of God. Because he knew it was purposed in his heart to spread the gospel. Tonight it ought to be purposed in our heart to spread the gospel. I've had the opportunity, and you have too, to spread the gospel to people different all over the spectrum. All over the spectrum. You never know where you're going to be able to spread that gospel. But remember this, all you're called to do is spread it. Spread that good news. Spread that good news. You look at somebody's life and you say, they got it made. They don't need the gospel. They may be the one that needs the gospel. Don't duck out on who you share it with. Don't do it. Don't duck out. You share it wherever you go, and I promise you, God will bless it in a mighty way. Father, we love you and we thank you for this night. Lord, I pray you bless the ones that's in this room. Lord God, the ones that's in class, the ones that couldn't come tonight. Father, I thank you for that gospel when it got down in my soul, down in my heart, down in my mind, down in my spirit. Lord God, it revived me. Lord God, it turned everything upside down in my life. But Lord, really, it turned it right side up. That's what it really done. It turned it right side up. It got me in line. It got me on the right way. Got me on the right path. Got me in a right relationship with you. And Father, tonight, whoever I'm talking to that needs that touch tonight, I pray you touch them. I pray when they go to the workplace tomorrow that they spread that word, spread that gospel to a lost and dying world. We ask it tonight in Jesus' most holy, precious name. All of God's people say it. Amen.